The following presentation was recorded at a Christian Light Education workshop. More information at clp.org.
Good morning to all of you. This section is called, this workshop is called Preparation for Service in School Leadership. And we'll like to look at this morning at how we can serve as leaders. I have two questions that we'd like to look at today. And on the sheet of paper that you have, are there enough copies going around? There are not. Oh. There's still some? Okay. Because if there are, if we need more, we'll need to just make more. Okay, if there are couples, if you want to share, will there be enough?
Yeah.
Okay, then we're fine. The questions are listed on the first page.
There's still a few.
All right. The questions are listed on the first page. I'd like to look at the first question. How can we have an attitude of humble service, of serving not with a proud spirit, even though we are leaders? How can we do that? And then the second question is at the bottom of the page. How can leaders emulate or model or show the service of Christ to others? Not just how can we have that attitude, but how can we show that to others? How can we help encourage our students to have it? Come on in.
That's four.
No. There's always room for a few more. There are still some chairs. We welcome everyone. Just come on in. Behind there, just if you give me that coat, not that somebody else needs to have that. Good. Okay. We'll make a start. We'll start again. Preparation for service in school leadership. How can leaders maintain a humble spirit? A spirit that is not proud as they lead? And secondly, how can we help our children, our students, to also want to serve as we lead them? I have a few foundational principles, some ground things I'd like to look at, and then I'd like to look at what is a servant. What does a servant look like? How does a servant act? First of all, Christ, Jesus is the model. He is the example of perfect service. He came and he showed us exactly what service is to really look like. He said in Matthew 20, verse 28, I came not to be ministered to, I did not come to be served, I came to serve others. That's what he did. He did not come as wanting others to serve him, but rather that he could serve others. And yet he was the leader. He said in Luke 22, verse 27, I am among you. I have people around you, but I am the one that serves. And in Philippians 2, we read, let this mind be in you. Have this kind of attitude. That Jesus had. He was God. He was the highest. But he stepped down. He became a servant. He became the servant of servants, the lowest of servants, all the way down. So Jesus is the one we look to if we want to be a servant. He is the best example of what a servant is like, of what a servant does, of what how a servant acts, of the kind of a heart that a servant has. Okay? You'll find no other better, you'll find no better example than that of Christ. Number B, Christ is not, however, just the model servant. Christ is the one who should be the primary recipient. He should be the first one to get served in every way. If we read in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 7, come on in. The Bible tells us that servants or people who are employed, people who work for others, are to do their work as unto the Lord. In Colossians 3:24, it says, "For ye serve the Lord Christ." He says these servants, these workers, are to be working because they serve Christ. And so, some of you are employees. You work for others, probably. Your teachers work for you. You work for your parents when you're on the school board. You work for the school if you're in administration. Okay? Do we work for them or do we work for the Lord and others get the benefits? Basically, that's what it is. Our first service, our top service, our primary service is to the Lord. Yes, we're here to help other people, we're here to serve other people, but that is not our focus. That is not our main focus. Our main focus is we are serving Christ. We're serving Him. Now, that would then make a bit of a difference how we serve, doesn't it? If I keep in mind that whatever I'm doing as a leader, in the church, a leader in the school, a worker for who I work, but Jesus is really the head boss and I'm serving Him. I see some of you are teachers here. You say, well, I'm serving parents, or I'm working for the school board. Yes, but you're working for the Lord. And that makes that sets a different tone of how we then serve, if we keep that in mind. I'm sure if you were asked to serve the Queen of England, or if you were asked to serve President Obama in the United States, or if you were asked to serve, well, I guess it's now Justin Trudeau, it's going to come up. If you were asked to serve them, you would want to do your best. Well, to serve Jesus Christ is a lot higher than these people. A lot higher. And teachers, board members, leaders, we need to remember that He is the one. He is the not only the model, the one we follow, but He should be the recipient. He should be getting the most of our service. The third point about servanthood is that's what it takes to be a leader. Really? A good leader is just a good servant who has a little bit more responsibility. That's all. It's sad sometimes. I have seen this in schools. I have seen it otherwise. When a worker, when an employee becomes the boss, then somehow they feel they're not a worker anymore. Somehow something went to their head. That's really If anybody should be a good servant, it should be the leader. That doesn't mean he does all the work, or she. No. But they should be the they should be a model, they should be the example, they should be the inspiration for others under them. To be a leader, if we look for a leader in our churches, for example, if we want to have a minister, if we want to have a deacon, or if we want, who do we look for? We usually look for someone who has been a good servant. Okay? And it's important that that person then also stay a good servant, even with the new responsibilities that he might have. Jesus said in Mark chapter 10, "He that would be great among you must be your servant." So the way up is down. Really. And it is from good servants that we have good leaders. And as long as they stay good servants. Fourthly, a good servant, a servant is also one not just to become a leader, but to stay in leadership. We've already talked a bit about that. Stay that way. True. Leaders need to lead. Leaders need to give direction. Leaders are responsible for people under them. It's all very important. But you and I, as leaders in our schools, whether we're teachers, whether we are principals, whether we are administrators, whether we are school board people, whatever position you may have, we can never forget being a servant. We can never forget that. It's interesting, I went to public school as a student. I don't recall ever my teachers saying, "Learn to be a good servant. That's what the world needs, good servants." But we were taught a lot. Study hard, do well, do your best. One day you might be a leader. Well, that got pushed a lot. It takes a lot more work to be a good servant than to be a good leader. Really, it does. It's not that leadership is automatic. There's many things about leadership that can be learned. But one of the main things about being a servant is the attitude. And that's something that we have to allow to happen in our life. That's so important in being a good leader. We want our students to have that. We like it when we see service in others. We really do. We really do. Okay. That then makes it important. Why am I doing this? I know. I sometimes have seen situations where somebody gets on the school board, for example, so on, and just does not want to do the job, doesn't care for it. And more or less, he does his now 2 years, 3 years, four, whatever, and just, well, get it done. And sometimes it's almost more just that they have the title than the actual work. That's not a servant. Sometimes there's people that want that position so that they can push their way around. That's not a servant either. A servant needs to have a certain qualities to be a servant. I'd like to ask you, when you hear the word servant, he's a good servant, so on, or she is a good servant, what does that mean? What is a servant to you? What does a servant look like? How does a servant act?
I think he's very selfless, and I've seen see someone running around here all the time getting chairs, I already thought he looked like a servant.
Okay. A servant doesn't think so much about himself. A servant thinks of others. He has an others thinking. Caring for others and how they feel, what they need. Mm-hmm. Very good. What else makes a good servant?
Cheerful.
Cheerful. The Bible says in Psalm 100, serve the Lord, how? With gladness. It's hard doing anything well if you don't like to do it. But it's especially difficult when you have servants, when you have people that are supposed that are to do something, and you can tell they just don't want to. It was interesting on the first trip that we did with Christian Light. Jonas Sauter was not with us on that trip, but Jonathan was on that trip, and there was another man, Nathan Yoder, on that trip. Nathan lives in Virginia, Jonathan lives in Washington, and I was in Minnesota at the time. We of course are Minnesota and Manitoba, both places. And so we were meeting in Lincoln, Nebraska. We were starting a workshop in Nebraska. And so Nathan flew from Virginia and Jonathan flew from Washington, and I drove down with my vehicle from Minnesota. And these two men, they flew into Lincoln Airport, different planes, very close at the same time. It was around lunchtime. And so I picked them up, and we had the afternoon, we had some time, and we three men had never worked together as a team. I'd worked with Jonas before, but Jonathan had never been with us on workshops like this. This was new to him. And so I says, you know what, let's go to a restaurant, we'll eat lunch, and we'll take a bit of time just to get to know each other. I mean, we knew each other somewhat, and just plan how things are going to be done, what this is all about, stuff like that. So we went to a restaurant, and I told the waitress, I says, you know, if we could sit in a little bit further corner, we'll be here for a little while. We'd like to have a good meal, but also like to do some visiting and just look at some things. And that was fine. It was after 1 o'clock already. And so, but it was very interesting watching this waitress. She took our order and she brought our food, where things worked very, very well. And then afterwards she brought our bill. But I said, well, we're not done with our meeting. He says, that's fine. There's plenty of time. You're okay. And every once in a while she'd come back and, you know, if we needed something or wanted coffee or water, whatever it was. And but I could tell she was doing this because she wanted to. She wasn't doing it in order that she was hoping to get a good tip. She did get one. Okay? She did get one. But she wasn't doing it for that purpose. She wasn't doing this because, well, I'm putting in my time. You could tell she was doing this with a cheerful heart. It sure makes a difference. It really does. What else is a servant like?
Humble.
Humble. A servant doesn't do things to be seen. A servant is willing to take the lower position. To do work that others may not like to do. To not even be recognized, but just to do it. I know my wife would not be happy if she heard me say this, but I will say it anyway. It happens that when sometimes in our communities where we have lived or do live, that ladies get together and clean a house. Maybe somebody is moving into a new house and it needs to be cleaned, and you know, they make sure the house is ready for somebody to move into. and so on. And so then ladies organize and they get together and they clean. Or the church gets cleaned, the church building or school, whatever, it gets cleaned. Guess where you will usually find my wife cleaning? You are right, the bathroom. It's not because they say, you go and do it. But she knows full well that that's a job that most people don't care to do. And so she just goes and does it. I feel that that is a, that shows a humble kind of a heart. I do remember as a teacher, I came into the class one day and I saw that there was a mess on the floor. See, and I had a situation in school where I was teaching that if students did certain things, had their desks clean and stuff like that, then they could get recognized, you know, somehow. But along with it, if a student did something special, whatever it was, but something that was significant, that was special, there would be recognition for that too. Whatever. Anyway, and so I come into the classroom and there's a mess on the floor. I'm not sure if what it was, muddy or dirt of some kind. Anyway, there was a mess on the floor. And I says, what happened here? There's a bunch of students standing around and just, you know, looking rather amazed at this, whatever it was. And I says, what happened here? And one of the younger girls just says, I'll clean it up. And she went and got what she needed. Was it a broom or a mop or whatever it was? She had not made the mess. She hadn't. But she just rightly says, I'll clean it up. These other students, they were there. And I says, Nita, I says, you are getting recognized. I think some of the others thought, why not me? Well, I thought to myself, hey, you didn't volunteer. You had the same chance. But you stood there and you were just... She was willing to do it, even if no recognition, nothing. She was humble and she just did it. And I says, Nita, we'll take note of that. Okay, so a servant is humble. What else is a servant like? Yes?
I have trouble being more observant than the needs of other people.
Okay, a servant keeps his eyes open, or hers. A servant sees things, and then does something. The story that Jesus told, you know, Jesus was asked the question, and I'm going to talk about it later this afternoon. He says, what must I do to get eternal life? And then Jesus asked, well, what does the Bible say? Basically, that's what he asked, and he says, well, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself, and Jesus says, do that, and that's... you've got it made. Well, then, of course, this man asks, who's my neighbor? And so then Jesus tells a story of what we call the Good Samaritan. All three men saw the wounded man, right? All three of them saw him. One of them really saw him. In fact, one of them looked over the situation rather closely and walked away. I don't know what he all decided not to do or why. Maybe it looked too messy. Maybe it looked too dangerous. Maybe it would take too much time. I don't know what his excuses all were. But the Good Samaritan just, he saw and he did what he could. I don't think he was a paramedic. Probably not. But he did what he could. And then he even took care of him overnight. And then what did he say the next day to them? He says, if it's going to cost more keeping him here, when I come back, I'll pay it up. It seems that this was not an unusual thing. Not the first time that this man had done something like this. This was the kind of man the Good Samaritan was. He noticed something. And he did his best to help along. That is his servant. Someone else, something else. What is a servant like? I have a list there, I know. Yes, Martin.
Being able to work to the best of your ability, even when authority is watching.
That's right. A servant doesn't just do his work when others are seeing, when the boss is looking. A servant is just does the job. A servant is faithful in just doing what he's supposed to do, or what's expected of them to do. In fact, when they then are recognized, they said, we just did that which was our duty to do. We just followed through. That's all. We just did. It's sometimes easy to be a servant when others are watching, to make an impression on them. No, we don't do that. A servant serves because they care. It goes along with others first. Because they have compassion. They are sensitive to the needs of others. They identify with the needs of others. Maybe this is not the most pleasant story, but I had a situation. Before I was married, I had a lot of trouble with my toenails. And so finally I went to the doctor, because this was getting painful and it was very uncomfortable. And he says, oh, we're going to have to do something about this, and we're going to remove those toenails and in such a way that they will never grow again. And we're going to first do one, and then we're going to let it heal, and then we'll do the other. I says, oh, no. You do both, because otherwise you will only do one. I know enough how this could be. So he says, no. He says, you're ready for that? I says, if we're going to do it, we're going to do it. And so I scheduled an appointment. I came in, and of course, he took care of it. And he says, now, how are you getting home? I says, well, I drove here. He says, well, you better get home fast, because once some of this freezing lets go, you're in for a rather unpleasant time. He gave me a fair bit of medication to help me through. But he says, you need to come back tomorrow because we need to change the bandages. Well, that evening and that night was, I wouldn't want to live through that again. I won't ever have to, not on that. But anyway, but then the next morning I was worried. I looked at those bandages and I thought, ay, ay, ay. I don't think there's any ceiling high enough. Once he touches my toes, I don't know how high I will go. This looks, it hurt extremely. And he'll just need to touch the bandages. And I was worried. But I knew I needed to go. It needed to be cleaned up. I knew that. So I go there and I thought, ooh. And he had an older single lady that was his nurse. And the doctor was a very good doctor, very good doctor. And I was sitting there and waiting. And then she says, you know, Mr. Peters, she says, I'll start with the bandages. When the doctor comes in, he's probably going to be a bit more in a hurry and he'll want to get it done. And so I'll work on it just, a little more slowly. And she got alcohol and she started working on this. And just, I didn't do it. It wouldn't have been appropriate. But that lady needed a hug. She did such a tremendous job. She did it as if it was her toes. Okay? There was compassion. There was love. There was a sense of care. You could really feel that. You could really sense that. Made a tremendous, I really appreciated that. I really did. 40 some years ago already, and it's all getting close to that. And so I still remember the care of that person. One morning made a difference. Some other things that servants are. Servants serve because they want to serve. They choose to serve. They're not forced to serve. They are the servants of God, and so we do this because we want to. And they're willing to dirty their hands, like we talked about before. Okay, that I'd just like to look briefly at this question again before we go on to the next one. And that is, how can a leader have a humble attitude and be a leader? How can he have a humble attitude and as a servant and be a leader? How do we do that? Yes?
By being willing to take advice, even if you are ahead of, you know, higher than they are.
Mm-hmm. Even though you are might be the leader, that doesn't mean that you and I, that we know it all. There's always something we can learn. There's advice we can take from someone else. Be willing to take advice. Very, very good point. What else? Yes.
Anna. Show that you care.
Show that you care. Yeah. And be concerned. What else? Somebody told me just on one of these workshop trips and says, be careful how much you use the word I. You usually find out, when you get to know a person, you find out how much they think about themselves by just listen. The word I, me, my, gives you a good indication very often with us. Let's go over to the other side here. The second question then that I have is, how can you as a school leader, in this case we're talking basically to school leaders, how can we model, how can we example, how can we help our students, our schools, to have a servant thinking, way of thinking? And I suggest two ways. First of all, by encouraging it, and then first of all, by exampling it, and then by encouraging it. Probably, probably the best way that you will teach others to be an example is to be a servant is by them watching you. We have no curriculum, no books that teach actual servanthood. We don't have that. Yes, the Bible is our textbook, but we don't have any curriculum on where students, you know, this is how you become a servant. We don't have books like that. In fact, it would be very awkward to develop a course like that. I don't know how we would do that, really. But you and I, as teachers, as leaders, as school board, you and I are the curriculum that our students watch, that they see. And they will be able to see, to detect what kind of servants we are or are not. They'll be able to see that. Not just if we come to school, but just in it, just as we handle things in life. And I'm talking a bit more like to school board members, school leadership, school administration. Yeah, how do we serve others that we work together with whom we work together? The rest of the school board, the rest of the people. Are we a team player? Do we work as a team? Do I do my duties, my responsibilities? Or do I say, I'll let others do the work? Yes, I'm on the board, but I'll let others do it. Some people are very happy to see work being done by others. That's really not the spirit of a servant. Am I willing to take advice and direction? Do I respect the others Do I respect other authorities? Do I include everyone in how we do things? Or are decisions made by a few and the others more or less just have to tag along? That's the elements of being a servant. They show that I work with, not just ahead. I work with. Definitely, if you are the principal, if you are the school board chairman, if you are the administrator, you have a responsibility to lead out ahead of the others. No question. But it's very important that we sense that this is a team effort and we're working together. We know that if we play a game, you play softball, you play volleyball, and it's not one person that plays the game and the others are just standing around. It takes everybody. Everybody does his or her part to make the game successful. And we don't say, I won the game. No, we did. Okay? Because it's a group effort. And so we need to be examples of that to those we work with. And especially talking to school board members, I'd like to encourage you to serve your staff. And I know I visit your schools and I see that happening. That's a real blessing. Now, that doesn't mean that the teachers are the boss. But teachers really appreciate when their leaders have servant hearts. How do we do that as leaders? Help them where we can. And there's two ways especially. There's two ways. Actually, three. And the third really goes with the other two. One is listen. Listen. Sometimes what your teachers need is just someone that they can just share what's going on. It may be something positive, it may be something negative, it may be a question, it may be something they've noticed, whatever. Take time to listen. Another way is to shelter them. Now, I'm not saying that parents are bad people. They're not. But sometimes you have a situation where, especially where the teacher and the parent don't see the thing the same way. And it can become very difficult for the teacher to know how, what to do. The teacher has a whole class of children that they need to work with. And now here is one child or one situation that's where there's a difficulty. And you want to relate to the home well and you don't sense that there is that support. I'm not saying that the teacher is always right. The teacher isn't always right. They're not. But, school board members, it is your job to shelter the teacher. Not to. I'm not saying stick up for the teacher, okay? But don't let the situation get to such a place where it becomes a very difficult situation between teacher and parent. Because that makes it very difficult in the classroom. Very difficult. There, that's the place where the school board needs to work. I have said this as a teacher. I would rather be spanked by my school board than to have parents do that to me. Okay? I may be wrong. As a teacher, I did the wrong thing. I said the wrong thing. Whatever. I would rather take it from the school board that is over me. Because that's their job. If that needed to be done. But because it feels, it's very, very difficult if the teacher feels that they do that it's between them and the parent, and they don't know where the school board's at on this. That teacher feels very insecure, very unsure, very unsettled, uncomfortable, and doesn't know what to do. That's a very, very difficult place, not only for the teacher, that affects what happens with the child then too. It does. And so it's important that you give your teachers that sense of security, even if it means correction. And it may mean that sometimes. And the third one is give them the support that they need. And we're going to look at encouragement here briefly. Okay, but we also are here to encourage or example to our parents, the parents that we work with. Most of you that are in leadership are parents within the school. And so, but you have been appointed, you have been elected from among the parents to lead out. That's your job. That's what you're called to do. And to be a team player with the parents, to respect parents, the other parents, and work with them, and to be an example of how they can serve. You're not the one that should necessarily do all the work, but to be an example of how the work should be done. Actually, give them a chance to serve as well, but be the example of it. And I think there's even a place for us to be servants to our students and teach them example by how we serve. Light bulbs need to be changed. Well, maybe somebody's assigned to do it. You come into the school as a school board member, you see something needing attention, and just do it. You know, the question is, when do we get someone else to do it? When should we do it ourselves? I guess it's not that the school officials should be doing everything. Just like as parents, we sometimes tell our children to do some things because we want them to learn how to do it too. But we don't do it because we don't do it that way because we don't want to do it. We are there to help them learn how to do it as well. And give our students opportunities to serve. I'd like to look at the last part yet there. And that is encouraging service. How do we encourage service? One of the ways in which we encourage service in our students is when we see service happening by saying, "Hey, I saw that. Thank you." When you see it taking place, when you see teachers serving, when you see other parents serving, be the encourager. Take notice of it. Tell them that I noticed that. Tell them I appreciate that. I saw that. Encourage it. And show your appreciation when you see it happening. Definitely step in and do your part, but also take note. There's the man in the Bible by the name of Barnabas. Actually, his name was Joses. That was his real name, but he got a nickname. And his name, they gave him the nickname of Barnabas, which means the son of encouragement. He was such an encourager that they called him encouragement. Because that's what he was. And so that's the name he got. It's just he was just an encourager. And you read about him in the book of Acts, wherever it seems that Barnabas is, he's encouraging somebody. He is. That was his attitude. That was his character. He would notice things and he would be encouraging them. And we can encourage service by giving opportunities to our students and to our parents to serve. Now, I guess we need to be careful. I know of a school situation where parents started pulling out of that school because it wasn't a very large school and they had so many kinds of activities that the parents they actually got tired of helping along. It was too much. And I guess everything can get overdone. But it is also a blessing when we can give people an opportunity to help along and to participate. Very often people say, well, I can't do much, but you know, can you help us with this? And they actually feel good when we give them a chance to help us. We really don't feel comfortable having someone who just says, no, let me do it, and that they just have to sit and do nothing. We don't feel comfortable with those kind of people. We feel much more comfortable with people that allow us to participate as well. And also give students a chance to serve. Now, I'd like to say, how can we encourage our students to serve? Here's some ways. And of course, this is for teachers and school boards. One is, I know you have field trips, and I think field trips can be a good time for them to go somewhere else and learn something. Maybe they go to a museum, maybe they go to some special place and they see something different, that is good, and it's a learning experience and enjoyable. But you know, there's also such a thing as taking our students on a place where they can serve others. Now, I know maybe it's a little distant from here, but for example, just the other day, we got into the Waterloo area, and there is what is called Reapers of Hope. It's a Christian Aid Ministries. They have a place where people bring in potatoes and cabbage and rutabagas and all corn and carrots and then there's people that stand and they volunteers and they cut away all the bad parts, and then these vegetables of course are cleaned, and then they have a machine that dices them into small pieces. And then they send them through a dryer, and they make soup packages, 1 pound and 3 pound packages, and they are sent into countries like Haiti and Liberia and so on. And of course, then they're mixed with water, and a 3 pound package of this dried soup can feed 100 bowls or 100 cups of soup. And it's volunteers that do this there. I've watched them there, and sometimes like high school students, they'll take them there and work there for part of a day, that type of thing. Really, it's a learning experience, and it is a serving experience at the same time, and students feel good. Sometimes we have a bit the idea in school that the student comes to school and he's supposed to learn a lot, he's supposed to do good because of what he is going to get out of it. It's for his benefit. And it is true, we want our students to be here for their benefit. But at the same time, one of the wonderful benefits we want our students to have is being a servant at the same time, of learning how to serve. Because in life, that's a lot of what we should be doing, is serving other people. There's books that you can get of people who served, telling stories of servant people. But I'd also like to say, don't just rely on books. I think as teachers and as parents, as school board people, tell stories of the service of other people. Maybe stories that you've heard, stories that you've read. There's something about telling a story and students hearing that story that's different than when they just read it. Because when you tell a story, you put yourself into it. The student doesn't just remember the story. The student remembers you telling it. And that is important as well. So, encourage service. Provide for service. Give opportunities to serve. And, of course, your example is probably going to show the best way of being a servant.
For more free resources that support teaching and learning, visit thedocforlearning.org.